Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbon, and with me is Alan Elliott. Alan won the Open Level 2. It was the first one we did. And I think by this time everyone knows we're not continuing them, so I guess you're going to be the only person to ever win the Open Level 2. The community has anointed you the Lifetime Achievement winner, even though we don't have such a thing. But yeah, you've been around a while. You've gotten in real good shape on our stuff. It's obvious. I mean, look at his pictures online. This is kind of the and you and I have talked about this. The physique you showed up with in 87 is kind of, I think we agree it's your best physique that we've seen in the time you've been with us. And I think you like it the best too. You've got your true golden ratio. Like everything kind of came together. And we got a pretty interesting story here that you and I have talked about of how that there was a disconnect between that and your kind of life of competitive physique. Well, being in physique competitions. So I don't know. Let's just briefly touch on like the path of like the whole, really just briefly go over what it was like to be working through our systems all the way till what I think culminates with your best physique so far in AT7.
Okay. Yeah, it really just kind of started off. I was looking to improve my physique. You know, I'm a prior athlete, so no more shows, no more actual competitions. So this was a way to challenge myself. And when I found the program, I was actually in preparation for a natural bodybuilding show. I used the program for the natural bodybuilding show. I had really good results. I stuck with it all the way through. And then I kind of got frustrated in natural bodybuilding because I knew that there would be a limit as far as what you could do. And I really thought I could pursue fitness modeling. So when fitness modeling came out on the scene, a new division sprung up called Men's Physique. And Men's Physique is more of that attainable yet ripped Hollywood fitness look. And I was like, well, this just speaks volumes of what the Adonis Index program is. So I really took to that hard in the year of 2011. I did four shows, two at the national level, two at the regional level. I won one local level show, placed top five at the next show. And I was like, okay, at the end of 2011, after winning Open Level 1, I talked with you, John, and you told me some goals I can improve on. We even modified some of my programs, like, you know, the upper chest to build for incline bench press. And then, you know, have the whole, I guess, off season, so to speak. So from Thanksgiving all the way to March, I trained to build this package and I timed it properly to have the Open Level 2 photo shoot the day before my Men's Physique show. And long story short, I was very happy with my package, presented it confidently. I really had confidence in my photos. But then when I get to the competition day, I finished 4 out of 4. I'm like, man, they really just kind of shot my confidence down. I didn't know if I did something wrong. And John, you and I have been chatting so much. I told you, I was like, I don't even know if I want to submit these photos because there's a mental disconnect between what you do to look good and what people's interpretation of looking good is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then your AT7 photos were the best you've looked.
Yeah, I was pleased with that look.
Right, but the competitions you were entering didn't necessarily like that look. And then you did another one. So let's talk, and we've talked about this, and I don't think people realize this, that I think anyone agrees if they see your pictures, go to the blog, look at his pictures. That's basically, that's golden. It is a golden ratio. That's lean. It's big. It's not overly big. That's what physique is, by the way, for people who don't know. The physique competitions are sort of a level below bodybuilding from a overall size perspective. You can't just show up 250 pounds in the physique. It's just too big, right?
Exactly.
So it's more of the realistic, attainable physique versus the completely off the charts, ridiculous physique of shape of a body of the true bodybuilding category, which I think you and I both think Men's Physique is going to kind of supplant or severely take a bite out of men's bodybuilding because it's the look more guys can get to and the look that more people think is, but it's more realistic. It's just not being a goon.
Absolutely. Market's flooded with it. I would say MPC is the largest, you know, most world-renowned organization on the amateur circuit, John, because, you know, that leads to IFBB, and the most recognized show is the Olympia. So you have now the opportunity to become a professional athlete in the world's greatest organization where it would not have been possible without the use of, you know, drugs or other induced performance enhancers. So ever since then, you know, they were the first market to really open up for this category. But ever since that time last year, we've seen the natural bodybuilding circuits even duplicate the same thing, and they all have similar categories. So this, I'm in men's physique, but other organizations have a Mr. Fitness or a Mr. Physique. You know, they're all kind of hashes of that same category.
Yeah, so they're basically fitting a category below bodybuilding, because not every guy wants to go all to that level of getting just so huge. And they know. I mean, everyone who competes at the bodybuild, like in bodybuilding, not physique but bodybuilding, they know that it's all who looks better on a similar amount of drugs. It's really all bodybuilding is. So physique is a level below that. So you and I were talking about this back like 15, 20 years ago. I was training with multiple people who were getting ready for bodybuilding shows. And I remember back then you would enter your first show, like right as a rookie, first time ever. No one would be on drugs at first show. Most guys would go to their first show clean and they would kind of do what we do, get as in as best shape as you can and see what you got. And then maybe you'd do one or two shows like that at the local, local level, level one, whatever you call it. And this is bodybuilding. Physique didn't exist back then. And then if you did okay, and not, you kind of now you know the ropes on what it's like to get like in shape, to you know, drop your water, all that kind of stuff, the contest prep, like burning all the fat off, all that stuff. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I know what it's like to, like, you know, quote, dial it in. So then if you show any promise at that level, then you start taking drugs, and then you start building up to a bigger and bigger. Well, maybe, you know, that's when you really start thinking about it. But nowadays, people show up to a level one first-time rookie bodybuilding show full cranked, totally cranked, okay, and massive. The guys are – what's that?
They're going from first to fifth.
they're going from first gear to fifth gear all at once. There's no ramping into it. There is no, like, trying a few shows natural and then, you know, then you make the decision. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give this a run with some drugs. Now everyone shows up. Guys expect to be 250 pounds ripped at their first level one show. Like, first show ever, right out of the gates. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, holy smokes, this is totally different than it used to be. And so physique seems to be, inadvertently, the category physique now seems to be what guys used to do when they just got into bodybuilding. So they just went natural, just to see what they could do without drugs. And that kind of seems to be what, at least sort of, the physique category is now. Now, I'm sure there's guys that are on drugs in physique, too. They're just not taking as much to not get so big.
Exactly.
So anyways, it's a different thing. And so now talk about how different shows at different levels look for different things.
Yeah, at the level I compete at, still conditioning is most important, and also posing, like how you display yourself. Mm-hmm. Guys are trying to make a clear distinction between what bodybuilding is and what physique is. So physique would be anything you can see on a men's fitness cover magazine. Whereas bodybuilding is always going to be muscular development. If you all are familiar with those two magazines, that would be the greatest analogy of what you could compare it to. And conditioning even, you could be marked down, John, for being too conditioned. And I was like, that was very interesting. They don't want you bone dry rip where you were kind of, you'll get a high five and applause in the gym. But on the beach, girls will look at you like, oh, it's not really attractive.
Oh, so you'll actually get marked down for being so dry and so... Yeah, so lean that, like, it's just looks with that, like, onion skin, thin,
yeah, hard
skin and stuff.
They don't want you hard and grainy. They want the muscle bellies, you know, soft, but firm, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And really, and that's a smart thing, because that hard, really, really dry look is a result of massive diuretic use.
Yes, yes.
So by marking that down, they're kind of discouraging the use of, at least the real hard use of those.
Exactly. And what we found that happened was, this is the first year in 2012 where the guys, 2011 was the first year that opened up. So everybody that turned pro in 2011 had to wait until 2012 to compete. Mm-hmm. And now that they're competing, there's a disconnect between what they did to go pro at the NPC level and what the IFBB expects of them. There's a bit of a disconnect there.
Oh, interesting. So what happened? Well, I mean, they're pioneers too. They don't really know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, they're still growing and learning about the industry. And now that they're all professionals, you know, in this organization competing against each other, nobody has yet to set the standard of what they want.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it's a moving target for everybody.
It is, because, you know, these are the first generation guys turning pro last year, and they all had different body types because they didn't want to just pigeonhole it and stovepipe it the first year. They said, we need to give room for this category to grow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the only criteria they knew is not bodybuilding.
Exactly.
So they know what it isn't, but they're not sure what it is.
Exactly.
All right. Well, then you've obviously experienced that. So walk us through what happened to you this year so far.
Yeah, I had a few ups and downs. Came in, got feedback. And this is even funnier, John, but you mentioned the level one versus a level two, level three. Some people said, man, you look great, but you're too big at the local level, but you do good at the national level. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I thought I would be, you know, transitory coming in for one show to get ready for the next.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where that whole size up versus size down concept comes into play. They felt I was, you know, too big, so to speak. But then when I get to the national level show, everybody came in big. So I think what happens and what we're noticing is that, depending on what the mass majority is going to do, that is the standard they have to set. So if everybody comes in, you know, a little bigger, fuller, then they'll judge you there. But if everybody's coming in smaller, then you're kind of marked down. So that standard still yet has to be defined.
And you inadvertently did the opposite at two shows. You came in too big for one and too small for another.
Exactly.
But AT7 was the look that probably would have worked.
AT7 was the national level look, but I brought that to a local level show.
Yeah, and then you took that advice, got a lot leaner, and we both know that when you try to get leaner, you lose some of the bulk in your shoulder and up, like your shoulder component of your AI ratio drops when you really try to get too lean in the waist.
Yes.
And then you brought that look to a national show, and they were like, well, wait a minute, we needed you bigger.
Exactly, the symmetry, you know, tie-ins, and then we all know genetically everybody has different body parts that respond better than others. So for me, based on my athletic background, it was my quads and my traps.
Mm-hmm.
So even we didn't talk about this, John, but going in back to the modeling look, even the board shorts you wear visually to the eye can make your body appear differently than what it is. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So one hindrance to me was I wore plaid board shorts, and the plaid, you know, they have those horizontal lines.
Yep.
So my legs are already big, and I'm putting on plaid shorts that makes it visually appear larger.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes away from your upper body. So in the photo, aesthetically, it makes my lower body look disproportionate to upper body.
Oh, yeah. For the size of your legs, you should only wear vertical lines.
Exactly. Because I got to take away from that. We don't want to focus there.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's all good. And that's all feedback, right? Like, I don't know if people realize you can go down and get the judges. Like, you have a communication with some of the judges where they just tell you what to improve on, right?
Exactly. And you're going to have an open email progress photo saying, okay, hey, this is what show I'm thinking about doing. What do you recommend? What are some other things to consider? And there's other, forums that you can be in and talk to the other guys to find out what they're doing. And teams are even being built around this to have a kind of a support group.
Right.
To help people succeed. Because once you get to those national level shows, you're talking 50, 60 guys in a class, and you could just be, you know, lost in the numbers, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you got to look. It's got to. They got to. The judges got to like your physique the minute you step on stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like they're making a call. They're making the call like almost instantaneously of who's at least going to be competitive, right?
Absolutely. You got 6 seconds in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, everyone looks good. It's not like anyone goes up there who's not in shape. Now they're just splitting hairs, right? Everyone at that level looks great. It's just. It's kind of picky. The judges are just forced to be super picky.
Yeah, it really comes down to that. I mean, you want to award everybody, but still it is a competition and everybody's fighting for that number or the top five slots, so to speak, or even they place the top 15. So that would be my next goal, to break into the top 15 lineup at a national level show.
Sure, sure. Oh, that's a good job. And you and I even got to the point where like you were even thinking, do you even want to do this anymore, right?
Yeah, I was kind of jaded. I mean, I had done well in the first year of the program, you know, and also with the Adonis. And then after, you know, going backwards in two shows, I was like, what am I even doing this for?
Yeah, but then we kind of talked through it and realized like maybe you went the wrong direction at the wrong show, like the local versus national. You kind of did the opposite of what both shows were looking for. So
yeah,
I don't think you have your real answer yet as to whether or not you can be really competitive. It's you got to actually show up at the right show with the right look, because you had drastically different looks.
Absolutely, And you have to, you even want to think two or three levels, or, you know, in chess, you want to think two or three moves ahead. So you're like, what is the benefit of me doing the show? You don't want to just do the show, show up, compete, and go home. You would want to say, okay, I'm here. I want to meet a sponsor. Or I want to meet a photographer, or I want to try to do something that's going to, you know, promote my fitness model career, so to speak.
Right.
And it, the location of the shows can lead to you meeting different people and building your contact network there.
Yeah, so you're kind of always networking and kind of have your business mind on or hat on while you're there. It's not just show up and get out of there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're right. What the hell was the point? So you can say you competed, but well, you know, I guess if that's all what some people want to do, but if you want to get anything else out of it, you can if you go in thinking that in those terms in the first place.
Yeah, having the game plan before you go into the show, what the overall purpose is, what it's going to do for you, and sometimes it may even be just checking the block. There may be certain judges that are there that you need to say, okay, I identify with them. You need to meet them, talk with them. So it does come down to strategy.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think too many people realize this much goes into it. I bet you people think you just show up and Best Body wins, but that's not exactly the process.
No, there's a little more, a few more steps in place.
Yeah, well, quite a few more. You got to get to know people. You got to have almost like be able to predict what they're going to want before the show happens so you can show up with what they want.
And then it's just, okay, did he check these blocks? Check, check, check.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And obviously you got to put the work in to show up in that condition, but like that's not a question for you. And most guys at that level, that's not the concern.
Yes.
Like if they say build your shoulders, you're like, fine, I'll do that. And you show up, come, you know, yeah, you show up with that.
That's the funniest thing. Well, that's what interests me, you know, my technical background with is how you can apply certain principles to generate a look that you want in your body. And that's what really interests me in bodybuilding alone. And now we have physique where you're down to what do I need to do? Bring in my shoulders, mass up my shoulders, build arms, you know, and the Adonis system has really helped me set those specific goals, especially with the new software we're going to have rolling out here.
Yep. Yep. All right. So you're going to take a crack at a couple more shows to at least try to show up exactly with what they wanted at the right show,
yeah,
and then make a call moving forward. Talk a little bit about, and you and I have gone back and forth we've had a couple lengthy discussions on where you want to go with all of that. And we've obviously, I don't know if people know about this, but you and I are putting a workout together. It'll be the first collaboration for a new Adonis Index workout.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I guess we just finished laying it out, right? So now we gotta.
Yep. Now we gotta clean it up a little bit, work on the sales video, and we'll be ready to launch.
Yep. But all the actual sets, reps, and everything are on in rough copy on a spreadsheet. So it does exist. It's mm-hmm. just not ready to roll out just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about what you realistically hope to get, what you want your body to do for you, I guess you could say. Like, obviously, the Adonis effect is the concept of, like, your body precedes even the first words out of your mouth. People are judging you in every aspect of your life, like, at work, relationships, we don't expect anyone to take it to your level, but some people might be curious about mm-hmm. that. So give some insights that to this level, you've got another year of thinking about it and seeing what fitness modeling can and can't do for you. I don't know, just bring us up to date on if somebody's as curious, wants to take it as far as you have, what can they kind of expect? Give them, you know, like imagine you got a kid's like, hey, I wanna try to compete in fitness, and maybe they're wide eyed and think they're gonna be a celebrity and all this stuff. Like, what would you tell them at this point on how to like get the most out of it if they're gonna take it that way anyways?
Yeah, after a year in review, I learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes at the same time, but I would just say consider yourself a professional because you already are a professional because you made a commitment to have your body as a walking billboard, literally. But that doesn't mean that you have to stay that way all the time. You know, you're just in periods where you're kind of maintaining and then you're photo shoot ready. So I wouldn't want somebody to be discouraged if they wake up in the morning and they don't look, you know, photo shoot ready every day. Just know that there's a peak in time of what you can hold and maintain. But it's also a lifestyle. You know, you're going to interact with so many people. And what I enjoy is the opportunity that I can do something that I'm passionate about, and when other people see that, that inspires them. And then when you go into the gym, if you go to the gym regularly, you know, you build that camaraderie, that friendship, that association with other like-minded individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it would just be knowing where you're at, having a game plan, and then also probably having a mentor, somebody who can see ahead of you. But from that perspective, know that it is an industry. This, you know, it is a business. Most people will just pick up a magazine and they will see somebody on the cover, but they won't know, you know, what it took to get there or how that person is affiliated with the company. And the greatest way to get started is how I did, you know, just enter contests, get your name out there, maybe work through an Adonis system to get photo shoot ready, have some good photos to start with, and then kind of start fishing them out there and see what bites. Some people will be interested, some won't, but just keep moving on and looking for more opportunities. The best thing I'll say too is, you know, there's tons of people in shape, but again, it is a business. Nobody's going to come running to beat down your door. I actually pursued others and they're looking for people. So if you're as motivated to put in the work in the gym, all it is a few extra steps to put yourself out there on the market. If that's what you're interested in doing, creating that physique brand or considering your body to be a business. And then carry yourself in public that way too, because people will notice that. And I think anybody on the Adonis Index program has an air of, I would say confidence, not arrogance, John. Mm-hmm. And if they put in that work in the gym and then they present their body outside, people will notice that. So they'll be drawn to you, but that's not a bad thing. That just means that you've done something to inspire or attract them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a mouthful. And then, that was really good advice. So the take home message is, it's an industry and it's, I don't think you said this word, but it's a process.
Yeah.
You don't, and the key thing you said, there's lots of people are in shape. Like, there's a lot of guys in shape. Well, what makes you any better than them? You, mm-hmm. like you said, you had to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, all of it has to be, you have to instigate. Somebody who's looking for a model to put to endorse a product, to put in a magazine ad, to be like, yes, you've had some photo shoots, right? You've had some, I've watched you in a fashion show, right?
Yes.
But it's not like they just call you up and say, hey, we'd love to have you in our show. It's like you got to keep your nose in there, because it's how much you want to be involved, and then as long as your hat's in the ring, you know opportunities will come around as long as you're around. But as soon as you dissociate from it, it disappears. It's not like the phone just keeps. It's not like I don't want to say it this harshly, but I guess I will. You're not special. You have to.
Just because you work out and look good doesn't make you special. You're not.
No, lots of guys. There's tons of guys and tons of girls who look that good in every gym.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone pursues it. Not everyone cares, right? Some people are perfectly happy, maybe just entering an online contest, one of ours or some other one online, and be like, cool. I entered a contest and won something. You know, we've had some contest winners keep their check and frame it because they're like, I actually won money with my body, and they thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how much. It's just the novelty that it happened. But then if you want to keep going and be able to say, look, I got into a magazine, or I got, you know, I, whatever, I'm in some ad somewhere. It's just, you have to press it and you have to like want that to happen. And like you said, you've got to leverage your personal brand. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you and I have talked about this. It's rare to actually be completely self-employed purely just off of your body. That's like, a few people in the world can do that, and everybody else, it's maybe a compliment to your overall life, business, economic strategy, but it's never going to be the thing. Like, no one gets, it's not like a celebrity who gets paid millions of dollars to endorse a product because it's whoever, Tom Cruise or whatever, somebody who's that well known that, yeah, if he attaches his image and name to anything, it'll sell just because everyone on earth has seen him.
Mm-hmm.
But people in really good shape, there's lots of people in really good shape. And just because someone in really good shape is attached to a product, it doesn't mean they're making that product sell. It's, you know, you're just a compliment to the product when it gets to that degree. So you have to build it. You have to view your body as a tool to build your total brand.
Correct.
And now, did you ever actually think you were just going to, before we started talking, did you ever actually think you could just physique your way to a total career just based off your body?
I think in the beginning, yes. But then you kind of get hit with reality when you meet people that you wanted to be like, and then you learn their story. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh wow, that's really how it works.
All right, well, like, okay, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I guess it was more, you know, I wouldn't say rags to riches, but learning from one of the very first people that to turn pro in the organization.
Yeah.
He, I thought, like, I had already seen him in magazines and stuff, and I was like, this dude's awesome. He's like a rock star to me, and I get a chance to pick his brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, dude, you're not gonna live full time just by doing shows and winning. You know, you have to have something to supplement your income. And I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm a trainer. This just builds my credibility as a trainer, and that's why I want to turn pro in this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, so this is just how you build your brand, you perceive yourself, and then earning these, you know, cover model shoots, these photos, opportunity is just other ways that you can, keep your clients and other members inspired by what you do. And that was pretty much the gist of what he told me.
Yeah, and that's basically what it is. If you can win a few shows, put your picture up on the wall and then the trophy and have proof that, look, I won a show. That's why you're paying top dollar to train with me.
Exactly.
That's how you leverage it. It's not like the show itself pays you the money.
No.
It's the sort of the authority that, like, I can do this and I can do it for you too. And that's where it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it permeates other areas of your life. If you're in a job interview and people are like, oh, you compete. They're like, this kid's got some drive. You know, this kid can get some work done and see something through to its end that's difficult, right?
Yes.
And no one forced you to. That's all like get up and go on your own. So an employer is going to look at that and be like, that person bothers to do something that's hard. So that's important. That's an important like indicator of your personality to anybody who just takes a look.
Yeah, it commands respect and it shows your willingness to go the extra mile above and beyond what's expected or required of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you did it on your own, no one prompted you to.
Yeah, nobody put a gun to your head and made you wake up and go to the gym in the morning.
Yeah, well, and not even besides that, lots of people do that, but not a lot of people bother to go up and allow themselves to be criticized and critiqued in an event.
That's a whole nother level of confidence, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Because what's it like to stand up there and just have people, you know, you're being judged in front of an audience?
Yeah, it was overwhelming. My very first show, I'd never practiced or posed in front of anybody. I just did it all, you know, in my house. And then when you get on stage, it's kind of like, you know, doing the headlights, like, what do you do next? And then out of your routine training, your body just responds to it. But mentally, you could be scattered.
Right, right. So were you a little nervous?
Oh, very nervous. My very first show. I didn't invite anybody. I only told my immediate family, but they lived, you know, 7 hours away. They didn't come, and because I was really scared of how I would do. So that was me getting started. But I just wanted to compete, and I wanted to, you know, present my best package I thought I could present at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And so now does it feel relatively like you got it? It's not that big a deal to get up there anymore.
Yeah, you still get the butterflies, but I would call it more, you know, anxiousness.
And gotcha.
You kind of, it's like you're in the zone and you're out there and like for that time, all eyes are on you and all your work, everything you did to prepare, all the meals, all the dieting, it was all worth it for that period of time and even beyond that. So that's kind of what it's been like now getting ready for a photo shoot or a competition. You reverse game plan and it's kind of like a ticking clock, the countdown.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, do you find that every time you quote dial it in or just kind of sharpen up for a show, do you learn more about the process? Do you get better at it? Does it become easier? I'm of the belief that the first time someone, like a complete newbie, tries to lose weight or get in shape is probably the chunkiest and hardest.
Yes.
And the rockiest, but each time you try it again, it becomes a little easier. And the idea is the pendulum swings less and less to the point where you're like, oh, yeah, it's 8 weeks from now. I got this.
Yeah, you learn more. Sometimes, like, the more you learn, the trickier it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, you know, second guess yourself, but you're like, well, I did this last time. Let me tweak this or let me a little more of this or let me do a little more cardio. But you're on the path in the lane. It's just what speed you want to travel at. You know you're going to get there, but it's how do you want to arrive?
Hmm. And so, yeah, and then, like you've said, you can even I guess you're already to the point where you can decide if you want to be bigger or leaner, and you've done that. It's just you inadvertently did it backwards for what the two shows you competed in most recently wanted. So, but it is a degree of control over your body. I guess what ultimately we're talking about is having control over your body.
It is. It's. I would say it would be a total package, not just the physical, but also the mental. You know, the social aspect. You may have, you know, family. Like there was a competition I wanted to do, but I couldn't do it because my brother graduated. So it's, you know, you gotta account your social life, family, friends. But overall, it's kind of like riding the bike. Once you get back on, you don't forget how to ride. It's just where are we going and how am I riding?
Right, exactly. So yeah, so just but eventually becomes a bit of a routine.
Mm-hmm.
So to translate that for guys listening who aren't interested in competing, if you've gone through an AI contest, let's say you went halfway through and didn't submit pictures, or guys who've submitted, and I mean Matt Misurak's a great example. He went through one, he placed, and then his life got flipped upside down, and he totally admitted he fell off the wagon, but then he got all the way back in shape again, and he got even better shape the second time.
Yes.
And so once you have that, it doesn't matter. It kind of almost doesn't matter how far back you slide. If you've done it once, you know you can do it again. And that little piece of confidence that you can do it again, that you've done it once, you know, is so valuable compared to never trying. Like once you've done it once, it's super powerful to know you have that you can do it. And like even if it's 10 years later, you still know you can do it. So it's important to try. It's really important to try. Like if you didn't try, you wouldn't know, right? So it doesn't even matter how successful it was. It's just the fact that you can get through it and on the other end realize you've remolded the clay, so to speak. And like you said, you learn about how you can change your body. You learn about how to fit it in socially. It's a huge mental game. You find out you're tougher than you think you are, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I would say I never had any perfect prep or any perfect, you know, plan. I just finished, you know, regardless. And that's kind of what I got back into in that blog post I wrote recently on mental courage, how to, you know, being very afraid. Sometimes the fear of not looking your best would motivate you to even train harder.
Oh, yeah.
And so you just say, man, I'm going to finish this no matter what. And then, you know, you arrive, you push through and you're like, this is the best for what I could do. And just be happy with that and display it with confidence. If it's a competition, if it's your life, if it's, you know, any aspect, it can apply to any principle.
Yeah, harness the fear.
Harness the fear, yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, well, I think it's a pretty good place to leave it then. What do you think?
Yeah, we hit on a lot of points, and look forward to getting some feedback in the forums on what you guys think.
Yeah, for sure. And on top of that, yeah, I don't know if people have noticed, but Alan's a regular contributor to the blog as well now, and we will hopefully pretty soon have the new workout out and ready for everybody. So that was a good talk, and obviously we'll talk again sometime soon.
Thanks, John.
All right. So for Alan Elliott, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Donis Index podcast.